A three-judge panel with the Third Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals in Philadelphia refused to reinstate the death penalty for political prisoner Mumia Abu-Jamal yesterday. While this is a major victory for Abu-Jamal and his supporters, his murder conviction in the 1981 shooting death of police officer Daniel Faulkner was left intact. The state now has 6 months to hold a new sentencing hearing for Abu-Jamal. If a new hearing is not held, the life imprisonment sentence stands. The legal appeal was based on the argument that racism by the judge and prosecutors in the original trial played a negative role in Abu-Jamal's conviction by a nearly all-white jury. Abu-Jamal's lawyers were hoping for an entirely new trial to prove his innocence. In the lengthy opinions issued yesterday, one of the three judges, Judge Thomas L. Ambrose, wrote that he would have gone further than his two colleagues in granting a hearing on Abu-Jamal's contention that the prosecution unfairly excluded blacks from his jury. Recently, in a story we covered this week on Uprising, an African-American man from Louisiana named Alan Snyder was granted a new trial after the U.S. Supreme Court decided that black jurors had been excluded from his jury on the basis of their race. My guest is Robert R. Bryan. He is the lead counsel for Mumia Abu-Jamal, joining us live from San Francisco. Welcome to Uprising, Robert.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Thanks so much for joining us today. So how do you react to what happened yesterday? On the one hand, certainly that the death penalty is off the table, at least until a new hearing may be held. Is that a good thing?
Well, yes. I mean, it's a mixed bag what happened yesterday. Mumia, I might point out, is still on death row. He's been incarcerated for 27 years now, on death row for 26 years, and that's where he is this morning. We certainly expect the state to the district attorney's office to seek review of this hearing. So Mumia certainly will remain on death row for at least for the time being. As one who specializes in defending people facing the death penalty, I've handled a very large number of these cases over the past 30 years. Anytime the death penalty is thrown out, it's a victory. So in that sense, this was a great victory. Mumia and I had two legal conferences yesterday, and he's very pleased with this ruling. However, and this is the mixed part, on the negative side, we wanted more, and we do expect more than just a new jury trial on the question of the death penalty or whether the sentence should be life. We want an entirely new trial. I want this case back before a jury, and I want, as I've done in many other cases, my client acquitted so he can go home to his family. So in that sense, that's the negative. However, as you pointed out in your introduction, the decision denying a completely new trial was split. We had a three-judge U.S. Court of Appeals panel. Two voted against us, but one wrote a 41-page opinion strongly arguing that racism was a major factor in jury selection in this case, that people were removed because of their race, and thus we should be granted relief. And I will say that with my extensive experience in death penalty litigation, I've never seen such a strong dissenting opinion.
Robert, in going through the opinions issued yesterday, not just the dissenting ones, but all of them, it seems as though the contention of racism in jury selection was thrown out, at least by the other two judges, because Abu-Jamal did not raise the issue when those jurors were taken off the jury, and that because he didn't raise it at that time, that somehow there is no prima facie case. Is that accurate?
Yes, that is accurate. The law that's controlling on this was based upon a U.S. Supreme Court decision in 1986, and the name of the case was Batson versus Kentucky. So that case had not even been decided in 1981, the time of the 1982 trial.
And that Batson versus Kentucky is the case where it was established that if people are removed on the basis of their race, that is unconstitutional.
Yes, and I presented a new case. You mentioned Snyder versus Louisiana, decided March 19, just last week, to the court, which was cited by this dissenting judge, in which the U.S. Supreme Court and one of its new Bush appointees, Alito, wrote the majority opinion reaffirming very strongly that even removing one prospective person, juror, because of his or her race was constitutionally unacceptable and mandated a completely new trial. So the law is very strong in this regard. What's troubling about this is that this lack of objection, what they refer to as contemporaneous objection at the time of jury selection by this very overwhelmed defense attorney at the time of trial, appointed lawyer, the law did not require him to do that. And in no other case by either the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit, which is in Philadelphia, or the Supreme Court has required, had this contemporaneous objection requirement in such matters. Now, in other words, the court cuts to the chase and says, if racism is a basis for somebody being removed, that's totally unacceptable, and a new trial must be granted. End of story.
Now, weren't they trying to come up with some sort of statistical evidence that there was no racism by looking at percentages of blacks removed?
And they did. They tried to, but the dissenting judge pointed out a couple of things. Number one, that nearly 70% of the strikes to remove prospective people, jurors, from being on the jury by the prosecution, nearly 70%, were employed against people who were African-American in the first place. And secondly, this judge pointed out that it does not require very much. It's a very low bar to get over in order to establish a prima facie case of racism in jury selection. He said certainly that was accomplished, achieved in this case. So we're disappointed over that part of the ruling, but we're very encouraged by this dissent because it will be a roadmap, a light in the darkness as to where we go at this point in seeking a total reversal.
My guest is Robert R. Bryan, lead counsel for Mumia Abu-Jamal. We're discussing the Court of Appeals decision yesterday that essentially has not granted a new trial for Mumia Abu-Jamal, although it refused to reinstate the death penalty.
Well, that's not exactly right. Mm-hmm. The death penalty is still there. It's not being reinstated. Mumia
but this particular court did not reinstate the death penalty.
No, well, the death penalty was still there. What the court did is threw out the death penalty because of the way it was imposed in this case. Mumia has remained on death row. There was a favorable federal court decision in December 2001, but the state, the district attorney of Philadelphia, immediately appealed, which resulted in that having no effect. So the death penalty still remained on Mumia Abu-Jamal. He continues to be on death row. So what the court did is actually threw out the death penalty.
So we
do expect the state to appeal that, the prosecution to appeal that, just as we're going to be appealing.
Right. And so they have 6 months to do just that.
Well, they have 6 months to either go back before a new jury for a new penalty trial in which the issue will be life or death. That's what the court said. Now, I will say that this dissenting opinion, as I said, is like a light in the darkness for us. It's so powerful. We will be seeking a very, very quickly a hearing before the entire court, not just three judges, but the entire all the judges in the court, because of this very strong dissenting opinion. If that's denied, and I think the likelihood of success is pretty high looking at this dissenting opinion, we would certainly go to the U.S. Supreme Court. And I expect the prosecution to do likewise on the death penalty being thrown out in the case.
Hmm. What about the remarks made at one point by one of the judges in Mumia's case, Judge Sabo? Was his racism discussed and decided upon?
One of our issues in the case was the bias and racism of the trial judge.
Mm-hmm.
And we have discovered from a court stenographer that during a recess of the 1982 trial, he was, this Judge Sabo, the trial judge, is overheard saying, I'm going to help them fry the, and you refer to Mumia Abu-Jamal using the N-word, I'm going to help them fry the N-word. And I don't know if it's appropriate to use that on the radio, even though it's a quote from the judge. I mean, this judge was a real dye-in-the-wool racist. I've used to try many murder cases, capital cases in the South, I thought I had seen a lot of racism, but nothing of the level of in this case. The problem we have with that one issue, which the court picked up on, unfortunately, in this decision, is that the lawyers before me, before I took over the case, made a big mistake. They attacked the judge's racism at a hearing 13 years after the trial, but did not accuse him of being biased at the time of the trial. It was just a stupid mistake, but we're saddled with that. And even though Mamiya first approached me 22 years ago to represent him, and I did not have time then because of a very busy murder case caseload, I feel kind of badly. I wish I had taken it because I'd had the time, because that's just a mistake that just we all make mistakes. But it's just kind of unimaginable how somebody could flub up like that. But it happens. So because
it was not raised at that time, the Federal Court of Appeals yesterday, U.S. Court of Appeals yesterday, did not take that accusation seriously.
Right, but the reality still is that this whole case from the beginning, a thread running through it through today, is racism. The district attorney's office in Philadelphia is documented in case after case, both before and after Mamiya Abdul-Jamal's 1982 trial, of being very racist in the way it dealt with jury selection and various other aspects of a trial. There was one other issue in the case which the court rejected, and we will be seeking relief on this one too, and that is a prosecutor at the guilt phase essentially lied to the jury and gave the jury the impression there would be other trials. So if they made a mistake, they should lean towards erring on the side of conviction rather than innocence, which is turning the presumption of innocence, that constitutional right, on its head. And that's a big issue. So there's a lot in the mix here, and a lot we will be doing. We lost partially a battle yesterday, but the war is far from over.
And you mentioned earlier that you would be willing to take this all the way to the Supreme Court.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, and I will not rest. I can tell you I will not rest until we get a new, entirely new trial, not just a new penalty jury trial. And my client is acquitted. I mean, he is not guilty of murder. My investigation and the facts just seem pretty overwhelming, and I've had a lot of acquittals in cases with much less evidence in that regard than in this case.
And do you think on that point that, of course, the very, very high profile of this case and its absolute politicization, of course, plays a role with heavy lobbying and pressure by the Fraternal Order of Police, and also Maureen Faulkner and her allies, the widow of Daniel Faulkner, all of that plays a role in this case?
Absolutely, and there's no question that that had an effect yesterday. The dissenting judge, interestingly, raised the question of why the majority did not follow precedent, why they carved out an exception only in this case of Mamiya Abdul-Jamal. And he raised that twice. Why are they not following the law? There's no contemporaneous objection requirement. If racism was involved in removing people, keeping people from the jury, that offends the U.S. Constitution, and a new trial is mandated. Mm-hmm. So he was puzzled why why they did not follow established law, not only in the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit, but established decisions by the U.S. Supreme Court. So we're in very sound footing.
Well, Robert, Brian, finally, how you said you had two meetings with Mumia Abdul-Jamal yesterday. What are his spirits like?
Well, he was happy and sad. He was happy about the death penalty being thrown out, even though he remains on death row as of today. But he was disappointed that we did not get a complete reversal. It's tough. I was sitting in my office looking. I can look out my window at the Golden Gate Bridge, and he's sitting in a small, dank cell on Pennsylvania's death row, like thousands of others in this country are sitting on death rows. But, you know, they can't lock up the mind, and he's written five extraordinary books from death row, continues to do weekly commentaries on human rights issues, and so as he said at the end, he said, the struggle will continue. We will persevere.
Robert, Brian, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
Robert R. Brian is the lead counsel for Mumia Abdul-Jamal, and of course, you often hear Mumia Abdul-Jamal's commentaries on Uprising. You can also hear them online at prisonradio.org.